Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I have a very special episode today. It is with Chef Xavier Perez, who is the chef for the Inner Circle. He's an executive chef. He's worked all over the world. He's an incredible, incredible guy. Not just a chef. He's just a really great guy. And in this podcast, we talk all about him and his upbringing and his own fitness journey. He's lost an extraordinary amount of weight and he's been able to maintain it for a long time. So we talk about that, but we also talk about his passion, and you're gonna hear and feel that in this episode. He's a very passionate guy. He talks very, very deeply about what he loves and how he got into the world, the culinary world, and his family and his friends. And it was a wonderful conversation, and I think you're going to like it a lot. So hope you enjoy it. If you do, please leave a 5-star review. Have a wonderful day. And let's get into it.
There he is. I love it, man. How you doing?
Doing amazing, my man. Doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You have a good weekend?
It was... The weather was amazing this weekend, right? Like, so Saturday I had to work for a little bit. And that was cool because, you know, my team was working. So, you know, I just wanted to be there with them as well. And then today we just ran a bunch of errands and got, you know, a bunch of stuff done, you know, and went to IKEA and got some flower pots and things like that because, you know, the spring is here. And, I just hung out with my wife all day. It was definitely a great weekend. How about yourself?
Dude, it was good, man. It was good for me. Do me a favor, because people listening don't know who you are yet. First and foremost, Chef Xavier Perez, the Inner Circle executive chef, putting out incredible, incredible, incredible recipes every month. Before, do me a favor, just tell them where they can follow you on social media, because I'm pressuring you to post more content so people can get some great recipes from you. So where can they follow you? And then also just introduce yourself. Tell me about who you are, where you're from, how you became a chef, what you love about being a chef. Let's just, like, I want to hear about you, but first tell them where they can follow you.
Perfect. So I'm Xavier Perez. You can follow me on Instagram at Chef Xavier Perez is my handle. And on Facebook is my name, Xavier Perez, right? And so
I'll put your handle in the show notes so people can just copy paste it right into Instagram.
Love it. Love it. I'm very, very happy and excited to be here. So let's settle in and relax and kind of talk a little bit about what it is that, you know, who I am and everything. And so I am born and raised in Puerto Rico. I am 33 years old, and to the point that that I was in my late teens, I didn't even know, you know, what cooking was. And professionally, right, you know, I knew that, you know, the family always gets together to eat. And I knew that, you know, food was something that was very special, very, very special for my family, very, very special for a lot of people. But I never realized the impact that food was going to have in my life. I never realized the role that food was going to play in my life. And today, you know, it's a pretty complex story for me. You know, it's a pretty big deal for me to open up. It's a pretty big deal for me to share this. And so I can say that born and raised in Puerto Rico, right? I went to culinary school in North Miami, Florida. I became a chef because I really didn't want it to be in a classroom. I really didn't want it to follow the standard learning situation that everybody goes through, right? You know, you're sitting down for a long amount of time in a classroom and you're expected to, you know, take notes and be good at writing and be good at all these things, right? And for me, whenever I was doing manual things and somebody was showing me something, and this is how you chop an onion, and this is how you fry an egg, and this is how you... And I saw, Jordan, that you could get good at this, you know, and make money. I fell in love with it, you know, and I just wanted to be around food. I was a musician in the beginning of my life. Like, I played the guitar.
Really? And, dude, I didn't know that.
Yeah, when I was a kid in my, like, you know, preteens and early teens, I thought I was going to make any music. Or at least some sort of production kind of situation, right? Because I grew up in, you know, playing guitar in church, and I grew up, you know, singing, and I would go to summer camps, and I would play for, you know, and for a whole month in this summer camp, and just like be in charge of audiovisuals and like do all this stuff. And then, you know, I started cooking, and all that just went away. Like, I love music. Like, you will always catch me singing in the kitchen.
When I come over to your place next month for dinner, I'm going to want to hear some songs.
Listen, just a quick side note story. I was in my new, where I work now, and I was singing so loud that then, kitchen next to us, the chef came over and closed the door that divided both kitchens. He's like, we're okay over here, and he just closed the door. But yeah, man, just getting back into it. So after I started, you know, after I started cooking, I started working.
How old were you when you started cooking?
I was 17, 18 years old.
Okay. And did you just start doing it by yourself? Like, was there a reason that you got into cooking, or was it one of your parents? Like, how'd you decide, I want to start cooking?
I went and I started working the graveyard shift in this cafeteria that my friend's parents owned, and I didn't tell anybody, and I quit school.
Shut up.
And my parents found out that I quit school because a letter from the federal government, because I was not attending school anymore, came to my house.
No way. Wait, did you start working that shift just because you're like, hey, I need to make money, screw school?
I didn't care for that kind of setting. Like, I just was very unhappy, lost. Like, everybody would be in college. Like, you see this, I had roommates, computer engineering, you know, physical education. Like, these guys were in these, you know, they love going to, I don't know if they loved it, that, but they was like, all right, I need to fucking go here and do this shit and then get my degree. And I couldn't do it. I was there for a few months, and I started working the graveyard shift in this cafeteria because I just wanted to work.
$6 an hour.
$6 an hour. 2005, 2006, I was making $6 an hour, you know, working the graveyard shift in Aguadilla, Puerto Rico.
Wow. And the federal government sent a letter to your home?
Right, because I was getting the FAFSA, which is the federal aid for people that are in school. And guess what? If you don't show up, they tell on you. They tell on you.
Were your parents pissed?
I mean, what do you think? I mean, they think I'm going for this industrial management thing, you know, that I'm, you know, paying. I was paying $70 a month for my rent. My parents were helping me. Like, obviously, they think I'm going to school. You know, they, you know, it was not a happy conversation. But by that point, I have figured out in my mind that I'm going to culinary school. And they didn't know either. So I was like, I'm going to culinary school. I'm going to the States. Like, I'm doing this. You know, obviously my mom's like, no, you're not. I was like, yes, I am. You know, you can either bless it or, you know, we'll see you in the holidays. And I mean, it sounds a little rough. It wasn't necessary. I'm making it a little bit funny essentially it was the scenario, you know? And so very quickly, I just said, listen, I'll do a year in Puerto Rico, in the culinary school there in Puerto Rico, and I'll figure out if I like it, you know? So I meet all these, you know, chefs in this college that I started going to. And, you know, I was good at it. I was good at it because I liked it. And although then they say, hey, listen, you need to go to school in the States. You know, the programs that we'll be able to do here in Puerto Rico are not the same. And once you go online and you see the kind of kitchens that you want to walk into and the kind of stuff that you're going to be doing over there, you're just going to be sold with it. Next thing I know, I'm talking to a recruiter for a school in North Miami, Florida, at Johnson & Wales University. And so I told my mom, I said, I'm going to buy you a ticket. Or she's buying a ticket. Somebody bought a ticket, you know? and I brought her over. I said, you want to see it and see that I'm not crazy and see that this is legit. You know, this is not some BS. It's a bachelor in science, in culinary arts. And so she was like, all right. So we flew to Orlando. My uncle lives there. And so he picked us up and drove us down to Miami. And so I was blown away. You know, I was just blown away, dude. You walk into this college and it's like culinary lab after culinary lab, and one's for soup, stocks, and sauces, and you can see all the kettles there to boil the sauces, and one's for butchering. You see these big ass boost blocks, and you see primal cuts of beef, and you see primal cuts of pork, and you see all this stuff, you know. And the other one is it's a dining room set, and they teach you the essentials of dining room and bartending, and they teach you ice carving, and they teach you like all this cool shit. And you're just not in a classroom, you're in a lab. You know, and you get some theory and you get some information, but then you grab your knives and you're chopping stuff and you're cutting yourself and you're, you know, getting exposed and you're learning and working with, you know, meeting people. And it's just great. I mean, I don't think there's an industry. I mean, yeah, there's people that go to space, you know, there's people that cure cancer, there's people that, or try to, right? Or there's people that do a bunch of cool shit, but being a chef, like, it's just, I don't know, I just fell in love with it. Like, the whole, like, everybody wants to talk to the chef, everybody wants to meet the chef, everybody wants to be, they want a slice of him, you know, and I would see these guys with their long aprons and their tall hats. And I was like, fuck, dude, this guy he's been places. He's traveled. You know what I mean? This guy has, you know. And then I read a little bit of, you know, Anthony Bourdain's book, No Reservations. And then, he caught the chef making out with the bride of the wedding that he was conducting. You know, it was just a cool, it was just something that I was just drawn to. You know?
I really just want to hook up with all these brides, bro.
Well, why not? Right now, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Joking, bro. I know.
It's just cool stuff, dude. I've been able to travel the world. I've been in Bali. I've been in the Philippines. I've been in Mumbai. You know what I mean? I've been in, you know, 9 or 10 different task force trips that allow me to go and travel the States and work in different hotels and resorts. You know, this career has allowed me to go places and get paid for it, you know, and it's just, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. I don't, you know, I wear a jacket and tight, you know, not tight, but like skinny jeans to work, my clogs and an apron. And, you know, I'm mentoring people all day. I'm making food all day. I'm, you know, talking to younger kids about, you know, leadership and how to, you know, thrive in a kitchen environment and how to make things better. And it's become my life.
It has become
something that I don't know, bro. I don't know. I've been cooking for, you know, a long time. Right. And if you were to tell me right now, oh, you know, you got to do something else because this is done, I don't know what I would do, you know?
Do you remember the first thing that you cooked at that graveyard shift?
Yeah. I was making sandwiches like a bodega in New York City.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just like that, you know, the deli counter, fried stuff, and we had this little oven, and then the guy that was working with me, he, you know, we had these long slicing knives, And we used to crack an egg and throw it on this little metal pan and throw it in. And the guy, this guy had so much swagger. I was like, how can he crack an egg like this? And then swing. And then I worked with guys that were flipping. This guy worked with this Haitian dude in Miami that was flipping fish on a pan. And he could flip two fish at the time with one hand, bro.
Jeez. You know?
And we were doing 700 covers. This wasn't like, this was like Cheesecake Factory level production. And this dude, and I've, you know, I've worked with people from all over the world. I've, you know, it's just, the swagger that this guy had, just, I was like, I want to learn how to move like that. You know, it's like, for example, for you, let's say you enjoy watching people do certain lifts, or, you know, the proper technique on a lunge. And then you, the first time that you saw somebody do that, or the first, I don't know, I'm just trying to pick your brain here. Like, you know, the first time that you saw somebody do something really cool and you went, oh, like, I want to do that.
The way I'm imagining it is like a dancer. Maybe it's a figure skater or a whatever, some type of dancer or a musician. That's like a really incredible art. I think the only real comparison in fitness would be Olympic lifting. Not even like powerlifting, you could, in terms of like you see someone lift, like deadlift a huge amount of weight or squat a huge amount of weight. But the thing with that is no one can deadlift or squat a huge amount of weight without looking like they're straining, right? I mean, their eyes are bulging out of their head, they're taking a huge breath. But for like Olympic lifting or dancing or figure skating, they're doing these remarkable things seemingly effortlessly with a smile on their, like, and that's what I'm imagining this guy, like flipping the two fish or cracking the egg. It's like things that take a tremendous amount of coordination and skill, but they just do it while having a conversation at the same time.
100%. With ease. I think that the term we're looking for is with ease. You know, it's natural, you know, it's natural, you know, and as I developed as a cook in the kitchens in Miami, because I spent about 8-9 years of my career there, I went from working in, you know, steakhouses to then working in luxury hotels and breakfast in these luxury hotels. And then I became a sous chef in South Beach, in a hotel in South Beach. Then got promoted to banquet chef in that same hotel. And then in 2015, I moved from Miami Beach with my, at that time, fiance. We moved across the coast to San Francisco. And then I took an executive sous chef position there. Then I come back to Amelia Island, Florida, where we, where I became an executive sous chef of a big, big resort. And so then after that, we go back to Cali for another tour in that same hotel. And then, to bring it full circle, then now, January 2020, I became the executive chef at the Los Regency in New York City.
Mm.
And then March 23rd, the pandemic hit. And in all reality, the only reason why you and I are talking right now is because of that. Because I started doing some reading, and I started doing 75 Hard and all this stuff. And I read this book that's called Mastering Fear. And this book is written by Brandon Webb, and he is a Navy SEAL. An ex-Navy SEAL. And so I'm reading this book because this book was given to me by a guy that worked the bell stand in this hotel in San Francisco. And this guy, you know, always, you know, he's, the first time I was there, I was pretty heavy. And then the second time I came back, I had lost some weight. And he's like, oh, you need to start swimming so you can lose more weight. And he gave me this book. It's called Mastering Fear, because I always told them, dude, I'm not a swimming guy. I'm, you know, and so he gave me this book. I never read it until 2020. So then I start reading this book, and, you know, and this guy is talking about, you know, you finding out your, you know, your why and making the decision to do things. You know, and for the longest time, I always wanted to make the decision to start doing these kind of things, like, you know, talking to people that have, you know, social media platforms and helping people and just putting myself out there. Because I mean, when we started this podcast, my heart was in my stomach. Like, I was about to have a connection, a heart attack, and die. But now I'm fine. And I, this is helping me so much to, it's helping me be able to just talk about me and talk about the stuff that has happened to me and why is it has happened to me and how it is that in 2.5, close to 3 years, I've lost 72 pounds and been able to keep them off, you know, while eating pizza and while, but also eating the good shit and the healthier stuff. And so in this whole rambling thing that I have done, what I want to say is that through cooking and through the life changes that I was able to do, 2.5 years ago, before I got married, and through this whole pandemic, and now has allowed me to be sitting down here and talking to you and, you know, sharing a friendship, and also about sharing these amazing recipes for the Inner Circle members and all this cool stuff and starting this relationship. And dude, I cannot be any happier and excited to be able to do that and have this opportunity to share this with you.
Man, I feel equally blessed. And for whatever it's worth, it's because you reached out to me. Like you went out on a limb, DM'd me. We wouldn't be on this call right now if you hadn't DM'd me and then we got on the phone. Yeah. And man, it's been crazy because when I started the Inner Circle in 2015, number one, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. Like I don't consider myself a business guy. I'm a coach. I'm a personal trainer. That's just what I do. I'm a personal trainer and nutrition coach. Right. Like all of this stuff just started happening because more and more people started following me. And I was originally just doing one-on-one coaching, but you know, you can only take on so many clients one-on-one before quality of coaching diminishes, which I wasn't willing to do. So I needed to come up with something that would help more people at a affordable cost. So that's why the Inner Circle was born. And a guy that I knew from actually, so one of my, I wasn't expecting to be talking this at all. One of my really good friends when I was a kid, his name is Chris Strandberg. Him and I grew up together. We went to kindergarten together. We were really good friends until my freshman year of college, he actually committed suicide. And it was devastating to me. But his older brother was my older brother's age, and he was really into fitness forever. He was really into fitness and nutrition, and he actually got a degree in nutrition. And so he always loved cooking. So when I started the Inner Circle, he said, "Hey man, like I would love to help out. I would love to contribute some recipes." And so Chris's older brother, Matt, was the Inner Circle. We called him the undercover chef because he told me he didn't want his name on it. He was like, "I just want to contribute every month, but I don't want to be associated like with anything. I just want to help, but I don't need any recognition," which I very much admire. And so he did that from 2015 all the way until like 6 months before you reached out to me. And so he was contributing all those recipes. And then there was a period of time where we didn't have anyone contributing recipes. And there was like, I wanted to do it, but I'm not a cook. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, I just eat the same stuff every day. My fiance cooks a lot. So for you to reach out, to go out on a limb, to shoot me a message, and for whatever it's worth, I mean, I get a lot of messages from a lot of people and I appreciate every single one. But there's a difference. There's a difference between what you did. There's a difference between what my podcast guy Tony did. You reached out with a specific, like, "Hey, here's what I do. I want to help you." And it's not just like a lot of people reach out and they say, "Hey, how can I bring you value?" Man, that is the word. I hate that phrase. When someone says, "Hey, how can I bring you value?" What they're really saying is, "What can I do for you that will then get me something in return?" That's what people mean when they're saying, how can I give you value?" When you reached out, you're like, "Hey, like, I'm an executive chef. I love what I do. I'm really good at what I do. How can I help in terms of like, how can I give that to you and your audience?" And it's only because of you that we're here right now. And man, I can't begin to tell you how much the Inner Circle has loved your recipes, how much they've loved all of it. I'm super excited because when Susan and I come to your house next month, we're going to vlog the whole thing. We'll make like a whole YouTube video about it. It's really nice to great recipes are amazing, but great recipes, realistically, they're not the most difficult to come by. And the same way, like a great workout isn't hard to come by. It's who's behind the recipe. It's who's behind the workout. Like if people want a great workout, they can go on Google and find one for free. But I think a lot of people join the Inner Circle because they trust me and they know who's behind it. And I think with the Inner Circle, they've really loved getting to know you. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about this podcast is because people are going to have a better understanding of who Xavier is, of your past, of why you're so passionate about what you do. It's one thing to just get the recipes. It's another thing to know the man behind the recipe and why he's so passionate about it and how much he really loves it. So thank you for everything you've done, man.
Well, Jordan, that's a great point that you make. And I think that's why I like to write a little something every time I do my recipes in the beginning of, you know, just give a little context of what it is that's going through my mind. Just give a little context of what it is that I thought about when I was putting this together. And my wife is a big, big part of this. Like I talk to her all the time. She's my, you know, my biggest ally and my toughest critic. Like she just like that picture doesn't look good. I mean, let me retake it. We're remaking this one. You know, this morning, she's like, next weekend, we're doing Inner Circle, right? Yes, we are. You know, and she got me textures to put on the bottom of the plate so that it looks like a different place. You know, she's talking to me about lighting. She's talking to me about, you know, she went and got me plates at this antique store. And, you know, for us, it's such a cool project and such a cool thing to do. I mean, sometimes we fight about it, you know, sometimes we argue about it. I ain't gonna lie, right? But it is such a cool thing that we are both, you know, just engaged with, because she helps me every month. She helps me every month. She puts her touch. Either it is, you know, submitting a whole recipe, like the both desserts that she did, or just by being there and supporting me with the pictures and everything. So I'm very, very happy again for the opportunity and to be able to do it. And so, you know, this month we're going to have some cool stuff. So I'm very, very excited. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing that I've really enjoyed and I was actually surprised about. I was surprised and happily surprised when I first started getting your recipes. You are really, you have a great variety. And I don't just mean in terms of the different types of food, but the number of actually vegetarian options that you've provided have blown me away. Which, you know, I'm not a vegetarian. I don't plan on being a vegetarian, but that's I love it from the perspective of we can serve more people, like people who are vegetarian or vegan. Yes. We can serve more, but also because I think it's just important to. I think it speaks more to your character for like diving deeper than more than just fitness. It's you don't just cook one thing. I think, for example, a lot of people in fitness, they just do one thing. It's just the one thing. Like this is what they do.
Right.
For you, looking at you, I think you're more of an artist than just simply a chef. Like you take so much pride and you put so much passion into everything and you have so many different styles and so many different types of recipes. It's not just like, okay, it's a protein shake or okay, like this is just like another high protein option. Like, yeah, it's just like you're so versatile with it and the passion really comes through. And that's, I really think you are much more of an artist with it as opposed to just simply a chef. Like I think you're an artist, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jordan, because it means a lot to me. Because I ain't gonna lie, man, I'm super insecure. If you go through my camera roll, I got 20 pics of each dish, you know, and I want to make sure it's the best, and I want to make sure it looks good, and I want to make sure that people get me when they read through the method of preparation. You know, like I want to that compliment. What you said is the biggest compliment to me, because it literally shows that what I am doing. Let me rephrase this.
It's properly representing who you are. What you're doing, it's coming through.
You are reading what I am writing. You get me. If other people get these recipes the same way you describe them, then I feel very fulfilled and happy, because I have done my job, which is to put my thoughts and my recipes and the way that I would do this and the care that I would put for this recipe into words, so that people can then make it a home for their loved ones and enjoy it. There's nothing more fulfilling to me than somebody being able to make something and some food, something to share with somebody else, and sit over a table or a piece of cardboard or the sand or the woods or wherever you are with somebody else and enjoy this food together that I took the time of my day to prepare it for you. I take this very seriously, and it's something that I can't begin to tell you how exciting it is for me. Like, I cook for my wife very, very often. I cook for my family when I go to Puerto Rico. They cook for me. I go to other chefs' friends' houses and they cook for me, and they make me these badass dishes. Like, my friend, he's the chef at a hotel in New York City, and I go to his restaurant or I go to his house, and this guy cooks like insane food, you know, and we do it to each other. Then I'll invite him and you come to my house and I'll make you some Puerto Rican comfort food, and you're gonna sit down and we're gonna eat about 4,500 calories worth of rice and beans, and we're gonna need a weekend off after this. But it's these little things that I get to do, or somebody gets to do for me, that really fulfill me in a way that I just cannot express anymore. So the fact that you can read that in my recipes and you said it, it's just, you made my night and my month and my year. Like, it's very, very exciting, and you know, I cannot wait to continue doing it. So just to give you a little bit of information about myself, like, my family in Puerto Rico, they're all vegan.
Really?
Yeah. And so my younger sister became vegan when my nephew was born. I think he's turning 11 now, in October. And then, you know, her husband, he became vegetarian, and then he got on board. And then my older sister became vegan, and then my mom and my dad. And every time I go home, that's what it is. You know, it's, we go to these type of places and it's usually pretty good food. And I go to my sister's house and she makes me these amazing meals. They're 100% vegan, you know? And so I make these type of dishes because I want, if you want to add a piece of chicken breast to this, you know, curry lentils, or if you want to eat it like that with a little bit of rice and some naan bread, you know, that's cool too, you know. And I want people to be able to eat like that, and not people to be able to learn that it is okay, you know, to eat, you know, find other protein sources, find other flavors that you wouldn't find otherwise, because beef is beef, right? Chicken is chicken. Pork is pork, but, you know, when you can do cool stuff, you know, and it's vegetarian or vegan, like, I also, you know, I think it's a little bit of a flex too, that you can do that and it make it look good. And I feel very, very proud of that.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I mean, you've done chicken dishes and you've done fish dishes and you've done egg dishes, and like, those are all amazing. For me, it was just, I wasn't expecting the vegan vegetarian options. I literally, one of my good friends, he created a vegan recipe manual for the Inner Circle a couple of years ago because we didn't have any vegan or vegetarian options. And I was like, shoot, we need to have this. So for you to come in and just, there's so much diversity with what you prepare. And sort of just backtracking a little bit what you were talking about a few minutes ago. I'm a big, big, big believer that food is not just fuel.
100%.
That's coming from, you know, I've spoken on my podcast and YouTube and stuff before about my past with disordered eating born out of my wrestling and weight cutting and all of that. When I was younger and I had real issues with food, for me, food was just fuel. That was the mindset that I had. It was just like you only eat to fuel your body. And I think that led to a lot of disordered eating habits. And as I've gotten older and as I've gotten more understanding of nutrition and the mindset and the psychology behind a healthy relationship with food, everything you're talking about cooking for your wife, cooking for your family, cooking for your friends, having people over, enjoying yourself, this is one of the reasons I was so excited to have you on the podcast, because I think a lot of the people in the Inner Circle, if they don't know you, then they are just recipes. That's
right.
In the same way, if they don't know me, then they are just workouts, right? It's what's the difference? It's just a workout. But to have you on here and to hear not just your name, not just your picture, not just your Instagram, but to hear your history, to hear your past, to hear like your story, it contributes a lot to every bite, and it makes the preparation of the meal more enjoyable. There's a reason behind it. There's a purpose. There's a story behind every meal, every recipe, every ingredient, everything that you offer. And I think that's a message and a lesson that I would really like to instill within people. Actually, I spoke about it when I did, I don't know if you saw, I did the carnivore diet for an experiment on YouTube last year.
Yep.
It was just about a year ago now. And it was something I spoke about a lot in that video about how people will say like food is just fuel. And I think it's so damaging when you only look at it as fuel. I mean, yes, it is fuel, but that's not all it is. Food is culture. Food is family. Food can bring you so much happiness and joy. Anything taken to an extreme is bad. But I think what's great about what you do is you really allow people to make it not just even a solo effort, but a family effort, a friend effort, a community effort. And there goes a lot more thought into every bite. I was talking with my buddy Rich maybe a month or two ago on this podcast, and he tries to hunt for all of his own food, and he spoke a lot about conscious eating in terms of when you hunt for your own food, then you're very aware of what it takes to get that animal onto a plate in front of you, and yep. It makes you appreciate it much more, appreciate the life that was given for that food, the effort that went into getting it there, where I think you do a similar thing where when you tell your story and you tell your thought process, it gives people a real opportunity to really appreciate what's in front of them and be more consciously and mindfully eating.
I'm very happy, Jordan, that you brought that point, because, you know, to answer your point that you said that you're trying to get me to post more, you know, sometimes I just feel I feel like I want to post more, but and show more of what I cook on a daily basis, because I cook almost every day, but sometimes I feel like people are looking for a certain type of food on Instagram. Like, I'll put a picture up, you know, of a healthy dish, and people go kind of crazy. But sometimes I'll put a picture of a burger, and then, you know, not so much. But I do eat burgers. You know, I do eat healthy dishes. You know, and for me, that's one of the dichotomies, right, that I go through. You know, sometimes it's like, when I put myself in this extreme of broccoli, rice, chicken, or I could go like to the other extreme, like two McDoubles, two McChickens, two snack wraps, one Big Mac, large fries, a McFlurry. And I could, you know, because I've lived on both of those sides, you know, I know what it is to, you know, eat controlled, but I also know what it is to eat out of control. And for me, I think that I'm almost there finding a balance of how to eat, but it is a very big struggle. And those insecurities, sometimes they put me like, oh man, like, is this the content that I should be putting out there? Like, are people that are trying to lose weight and people that are in this space, in the health and fitness space, there, is it okay for me to post these kind of things? Is it okay for me to show food?
Bro, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, you're worrying about the wrong shit. You're not a fitness professional. You're a chef, and that's what you quit school for. That's what you decided to go to school for. That's what you have so much love and passion for. You're not a coach. You're not a fitness coach. And thank God, like, you don't have passion for that. You shouldn't be worrying about fitness people coming in here and being like, oh, that has too many calories, or that fat content is too high, or like
right,
you should
right.
post what you're passionate about. You should post about, and for whatever it's worth, it takes time to cultivate an audience that really isn't in alignment with you. For example, it's so funny. I don't post on TikTok anymore. I did for a little while, but by the time I started posting on TikTok, I had already been posting on my website since 2011. I've been posting on my podcast. I've been building an Instagram. So my audience on those platforms were in alignment with me and my methods, and in agreement with my train of thought. TikTok, brand new platform, all new people. I started getting a lot of kickback from people because they didn't know who I was. They didn't know what my beliefs were. So you start being put in front of an audience of people who disagree with you, who don't like you, who hate you. Now on TikTok, TikTok's great. Like, it's cool. Like, it's difficult to post on every single platform, so I've decided to stop doing it. But when you start posting, when you start building up an audience, you're going to get kickback. It's going to happen. There will be people who don't like you, who don't like what you do, but you're not making content for those people. You're making content based around what you love, and eventually the people who also love it and love you will find you, and they'll share your work, and they'll support you because they love you. So whatever it is you post, don't worry about, is this okay, or are they going to like? Post what you like to post about. Post what is your passionate about. I think the key to really great content on social media is, number one, post about what you are passionate about and what you love. Number two, be helpful. Yeah. Those two things. Yep. If you're just posting, I don't know. I see people, the coaches will be like, I don't know why my account's not growing. And I'll go to their social media page, and it's like just pictures of their pickup truck and their dog. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, who the fuck cares about your pickup truck or your dog? Like, I'm glad you're passionate about those, but those aren't helpful, right? On the other hand, people might be posting about things that are helpful, but they're not passionate about it, right? And if they're not passionate about it, then they're going to burn out. They're not going to know what to talk about. So if you only try to post helpful stuff, but about something you're not passionate about, then you're not going to want to post. So it has to be a combination of stuff that you love also with stuff that will help people. And that's, I think you've done an amazing job of that in the Inner Circle, because you're posting recipes that you love, that you're passionate about. And on your social media, I'd love to see more of that. And I think you could really reach an amazing audience. And to everyone listening, go to Xavier's Instagram right now and DM him and tell him to get his ass in gear with posting stuff he loves. And not trying to please anybody. Like, your job isn't to please people. Your job is to be yourself. And in it, from a social media perspective, it's to be yourself while being helpful. That's the equation. Be yourself while being helpful over a long period of time. That's it. That plus that equals social media success. It doesn't happen overnight. Doesn't happen in a week or a month or even a year. It happens over years and years and years. Bro, I've been making content since 2011 daily across various platforms. So, and I actually just posted about it on my story last night, how 8 months after I started posting, I was still only getting 2 likes on my Facebook posts. Like, 8 months of daily content, I got 2 likes. People are like, oh, it's easy for you to say now because you have so many followers. It's like, bro, I've been doing this in July for a decade, like 10 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time, man. you didn't get good at cooking in a day or a week. I mean, you started off making sandwiches at the deli in the graveyard shift, you know? And it was amazing and you loved it. But I bet if yourself who was in the graveyard shift saw the stuff that you make now, I bet your old self would be like, dude, you've got swagger. Like you would be the cool chef that is doing things that your younger self would never have imagined possible.
You know, maybe a month I was posting 3 times a day. And that was fucking hard.
It's a full-time job, bro.
It is, Jordan. You know, me and my wife, we both look at your rolling skate videos, you with your fiance, like New York City, like your all of that. Like we love your everything you do and we're fan, and you know, it's fun. Like it's fun stuff. And I go like, I can do that. I can 3 times a day. That's nothing. That's, you know, 3 meals, you know, 3, something happened, this, that, and the third, like I can make, and I am like struggle bossing it. Like, just like, you know, like sweating, like, oh my God, what am I going to do today? I would write him down, you know, but I think like what you said, you know, about, you know, being passionate and, you know, it's dead on. It's spot on, you know, because, you know, the stuff that you dread, you know, and the stuff that you don't like doing, that's hard to do. But the stuff that you are passionate for, you will do and you will find time to do because it's what drives you, right? It's what exactly you want to do. It's what you want to do. Yeah. And it's not going to be a burden. It's not going to be. But, you know, I'll give you just a quick example, right? I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but like, so I bought a bunch of meats, right? And a bunch of fish and a bunch of stuff at Whole Foods, you know? And I'm like posting stories like before and after, like how I get it on the packaging and then my butchering process, the product that I did for it, right?
Dude, I love this. This sounds amazing.
I did this on my story, maybe 6 months back. And so I'm like, okay, the salmon, this is the way, you know, comes from the packaging. Boom, I did, you know, portions for salad and I did this and that. And I took pictures of it and then the steak and this, that, and this. Like, oh my God. So this guy DM me is like, you paid $30 for skirt steak? And I'm like, what? I don't set the price for meat at Whole Foods, man. You know,
Bro, that is welcome to social media where everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks they're an expert. Man, you can – I think that is the perfect example, man. That is the perfect example of why my fiance and I have decided that she wanted to stay private, that she doesn't want people to know her name. She doesn't want people to know her Instagram account because there's motherfuckers out there who think it's okay for them to just be giving their opinion on every single thing. It's like, shut up. I get it, bro. I get it.
I was like, it was 2 pounds of skirt steak, and I made 3 meals out of this, dude. I made 3 steaks, you know, and I had some fajita meat for tacos. That's worth it.
Not to mention, he doesn't even say thank you for taking your time to show him how to do all this stuff and to prepare. It's not a wow, thank you, this was so helpful. It's like, you paid that much, you idiot. It's like, I'm going to just. Dude, my block finger has been so strongly recently. Like, I just block. If someone says something that's just the least bit obnoxious, block, block, block. And then some people make another account and they'll be like, why'd you block me? And I'll be like, because you're being obnoxious. It's like, I have no patience for this anymore. It's like, I spend so much of my time trying to help you for free. If you're going to spend your time being obnoxious, out, done, block.
That's it. Listen, you know, for me, this is a total new venture, right? You know, working with you has been pretty fucking cool, right? Because you and I are completely different, polar opposites. Like, I'm, first of all, I am super military about my time. I'm like, you know, and you're a busy dude, you know, and I was like, well, you know, is he okay? Like, I am learning to, like, work with you, and I love it, dude. Like, it's something that I'm really enjoying. And the other thing to tie with, you know, what we were talking about earlier about the book, it has allowed me to really step outside of my comfort zone, because I am an extrovert, right? I will tell you my whole life story. I will cry
you did
with
on
you.
Our first call.
Dude, I'm it could be a flaw. It could be a gift.
I love it. It's a gift. I love it.
I appreciate that. Let's say it's a gift, right? But in the interest of this conversation, it's a gift. But, I am very bad at public speaking. You know, I've had to do tours of, you know, to corporate events, you know, at jobs. I've had to do, you know, speeches. I've had to do several things in the line of work that I do. I got to do pre-shift meetings. I got to do, you know, now all these Zoom calls and things like that. And you got to speak out in front of the whole corporation on this video call. And it's nerve wracking for me. And so one of the things that I am enjoying about this, because this is my second podcast ever I've done in my entire life. I did one with Gormie. He has this podcast called the Fat Guy Forum. So I did an episode with him, and this is the second one I ever done in my entire life. And I love this. You know, I think that, you know, it is. When the pandemic hit, I started driving for Domino's Pizza, bro. And all I did was listen to podcasts while being on the road and doing Uber Eats and all this stuff. And I was just working. And I listened to podcasts day in and day out. And I was like, man, I really, really want to do that. Like, I think that podcast is the best way that you can express yourself. And I feel like this will help me a lot. To put my thoughts out there and to control my, you know, how I am when I'm addressing, you know, people and when saying important shit. Like, I think it's very important that I, you know, I want to put this skill under my belt. Like, I want to be able to speak, you know, and feel good about what I'm saying and feel like I'm getting to people and feel like people are able to take this information and use it in their benefit. It could be in there because I said something funny or because I, you know, they can relate to my story or because they like the food that I make or whatever the case. I just like impacting people, you know, I just hope that we can really, you know, then, you know, do other, you know, podcasts and like, you know, touching other points and things about my story, about my journey and how it is that I was able to understand the caloric deficit and how it is that I'm able to now be okay with not stepping in the scale, you know, just be okay with feeling the progress that my body does when I work out, feeling okay with, I can jump rope now. I can do push-ups as a part of my workout. You want to know why I started this journey 2.5 years ago? Mm-hmm. One time I was in my kitchen, okay, and I was posting banquet event orders. This is a piece of paper that has a contract between the client and the hotel, okay, and it stipulates everything that's going to happen in your event, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, who's going to handle it, and everything. And so I post all these so that then the kitchen can produce each menu based on the guarantee and the time and the place and all these things. This place was very busy. It was hundreds of BEOs a week, a lot of events, and I was in charge of all of it, from the hot production to the cold production to pastry, working with the stewarding department, working with the front of the house banquet team, working with the setups team, touching clients, making sure food allergies were set, kosher meals, you name it, okay? And so one time I dropped a little box of thumbtacks that I had. And I was like probably over 360, bro.
Really?
And I'm 6 feet tall, but I was like 360, and I dropped the thing. And for me to pick that shit from the floor, bro, I was huffing and puffing. My apron was in the way. And there was like six or seven chefs like around me. And they all started making fun of me.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, I can't even pick this up from the floor. And then, you know, I didn't fit in my brand new car that I bought. You know, I bought a sports car. It has Recaro seats in it. I didn't even fit in there, dude. You know, like miserable. And you know, traveling was horrible. Sleeping was horrible. You know, going to the bathroom, you know, no mobility. Just let's leave it at that. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't. And so I was probably June, July. Yeah, I was four to five months from getting married. And that I just, you know, that's when I made the decision to start working out, you know, and changing my life around. And, you know, you have this idea of how it is that you need to do certain things. You know, you gotta, you know, be so restrictive. You gotta do this, you gotta do that. And then at that point, everybody's an expert and everybody's telling you what to do. And then I came across your page because you were interviewed by John Glaude, Obese to Beast.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I came across your page. And after that, I was like, how is it that this guy is saying that you can do this like this? How is it that this guy got Dunkin' Donuts in these pictures? How is it that this guy, you know, says that it's just this simple? Like, how, right? And I just started, like, gathering information and doing CrossFit and working out and what feels good, what feels bad, cutting out this and adding this. And it's been a long journey, and I think that you and I can definitely work on unpacking a lot of different things. And I know we, you know, we chatted briefly yesterday in our phone call, and that's what I want to do, man. I want to just unpack these little nuggets that with you and be able to share these things that I felt and I lived and I went through, dude. I'm paying close to $700 a month for a car that I can't barely drive. And I much rather just ignore that than get on a fucking diet, Jordan. You know, like, it's just a lot of things, you know, that I want to be able to put out there, and I want to be able to, you know, share, right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to be just one guest that just passed through, and I want to be able to share a lot of things, you know, what to do when you're talking to your loved ones and, you know, they don't listen, you know, how does that feel on both sides? Because I've done it on both sides. I've had family members that need to lose weight and do certain things and they don't listen. And I also was one that didn't listen. So I've lived both things. You know, I know what it is. I know what it is to walk into a room and want to leave because you have this shirt that when you sit down, your whole belly is going to be exposed and you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be huffing and puffing. I know all of that, bro. But now, guess what, man? I can touch my toes.
Yes.
And not lose my breath. I can do steps for 45 minutes, not lose my breath. I can wipe myself. I can drive my brand new car that I bought the other day, my new sports car that after the pandemic, I've been able to now get back on my, and I fit in my car. You know, I can sleep. I can rearrange myself in bed. You know, if I'm laying down and my shirt is tucked in between, I can literally come up, fix my shirt, and let myself go back down. I just cut my own toenails. I don't want to get graphic and nasty, but I just I didn't lose my breath. Man, I'm still 275 pounds. Don't get me wrong. I'm still a big guy, but 275 with this mobility versus it doesn't matter how much you weigh. It just what are you doing little by little? What are your building blocks? And so,
and you're almost 100 pounds down.
70 something, yeah. It fluctuates, but listen, it's because I understood the how simple it can be if you really break it down and you really understand it. And yeah, man, it's just a whole total difference. I was a size 44, bro. I put myself on a 36 pants the other day.
Dude, that's amazing. And has that improved your quality of work as well? Like, can you, I know being a chef, it's a long day. It's hard. Like, is it helping you do better work?
I have so much stamina, Jordan. Like, I can go, you know, I'm 33 now, but when I was in my late 20s and early in, you know, it was bad, but now I don't know, dude. I feel stronger than I have ever been in my entire life. I've never felt better. Never felt better. I ran for 21 minutes at speed 4. Dude, I went to this podiatrist because I had these bone spurs in my ankles that to the touch, if you would touch that, if I would scratch that with any surface, if I hit my ankle with anything, it would throw me to the ground, bro. Jeez. I had these bone spurs. I was willing to get surgery instead of looking at what the real thing was, which was my eating habits, my sleeping habits, my working habits, my activity habits. Like, all of that was not where it needed to be. But I was willing to go to a podiatrist and say, just cut him off. Like, sir, we can't. You can't tell me to cut these things off because that's not how it works. I'm the podiatrist. I tell you what I can and cannot do. And in your situation, you need to lose weight. That's a shocker, dude. That's when somebody say that to you, you go, all right. This, you know, and stuff like that, man. It's stuff like that. It's the kind of stuff that I want to be able to share. And I want to be able to tell these experiences and just have some fun and be able to, you know, share my story.
Well, man, what we're going to do is we're definitely going to get you on the podcast again. I think would be really cool to everyone listening. Xavier's Instagram is in the show notes. So you can just go check out his Instagram, send him a DM. Number one, let him know if you appreciate being on the podcast. Number two, make sure that you tell him to post more on Instagram because you want to see what he's passionate about. And number three, for the next podcast, bro, I think it would be really cool to get a number of things. I'd love to hear more of your story in terms of your own fitness and your own health journey. But I'd also love for people to message you maybe questions they have about cooking, like questions about maybe about food prep, maybe about my mind, for whatever reason, I want to do an episode with you on like how to cook the perfect steak. Like, how do you cook from start to finish, getting the type of meat, getting the preparation set up? How do you cook the perfect steak? Like, that's where my mind goes. Like, man, I feel like that'd be a really cool episode. But send Xavier a DM. Just let him know if you appreciated him. Make sure he's posting more on Instagram. And if you have any questions about cooking or things you'd like to learn, we can talk about. What I want you to do, Xavier, is screenshot those messages, send them to me, and we'll get a compilation of great things to discuss for our next podcast that we do together. And also, next month, Susan, my fiance, and myself will all be going to Xavier's house, and he's gonna cook a whole meal for us. So I'm gonna put that in a YouTube video. So if you don't subscribe to my YouTube channel, make sure you do, so you can see that. And basically, podcasts and YouTube is where I'm focused right now. So give Xavier some love, man. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a blast,
dude. Thank you for having me, and let's do some more. I can't wait to have you guys over for dinner and to see you guys, and we will definitely be in touch to make sure that we continue spreading the love. I appreciate you so much, Jordan, and thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have a great rest of your night. And to you, the listeners, thank you so much. Make sure you send me some questions, send me some things, engage with me, and I'll be happy to help you out with all your cooking needs. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you.
And of course, also join the inner circle if you want Xavier's recipes every month in your members portal. But awesome, man. I love you, bro. I will talk to you very soon. All right.
All right. Have a great night. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to join the inner circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com or at the link in the show notes. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.